The new singing schedule is down here. If you would like to sing, please come sign up. We want you to sing. It's a blessing. Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. Colossians chapter number 3. Continue right along in the book of Colossians. Be here for a few more Wednesday nights at least. Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, for just an opportunity, Lord, to stand and preach. Lord, I don't ever want to take that for granted. But Lord, I don't want to do a disservice to you or to your people. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, just hide me behind the cross. Lord, give me words and wisdom to say and preach what it is you'd have me preach. But Lord, most of all, let your people hear from you tonight. And Lord, I just pray, God, you, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this time. We know he doesn't like it when we open up your word and we learn truth. And tonight, what a mighty truth we're going to learn, how we ought not to be seeking things down here on earth, but how we ought to set our affections on things above. And Lord, what a mess we get in, Lord, when we start focusing on the things that are carnal and things that are going to burn up eventually anyway, and things we can do nothing about. But Lord, we ought to be setting our sights on the kingdom of heaven and what we can do to further the kingdom of God. And I pray, God, tonight we'll learn, and Lord, we'll go out of here and start doing just that. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Colossians 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are, what, church? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things, there it is again, what's that word? Above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Next week we'll look at those verses, but tonight I want to flip back and look at verses 1 and verse number 2 in particular. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We all know it's no secret that we live in a time where we need more prayer than ever before. Amen. Our schools need more prayer than ever before. Amen. Our churches need more prayer than ever before. Our homes need more prayer. Our politicians need our prayers. Amen. Whether we like them or whether we don't, whether we agree with them, which most of them we do not, but whether we agree or not, listen, what's going to change them is not you and I criticizing them. What's going to change them is not you and I judging them. What's going to change them is not you and I complaining about them. What's going to change them is the same thing that changed you and created you a new creature in Christ Jesus. The only hope for America is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. There's no other hope for this country. The only hope for your home tonight, mom and dad, is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You can sit back and think about all these carnal things that you think could make your life and your home and your wealth and your nice stuff better and make your life better. But listen, the only thing that's really going to last is Jesus and God's Word. And listen, we live in a time where it is very easy to focus on carnality. Amen? You say, what do you mean focus on carnality? I mean, just like tonight, listen, you cannot turn on the news now wherewith there's something on there that's going to draw you in. And you're going to start getting concerned, and you're going to start worrying, and you're going to start fearing, and you're going to start anticipating what's going to happen next, when in reality, look, our Bible prophesies this stuff. Maybe not word for word, But the Bible's very clear that things have got to get worse down here before it gets better. Amen? We're going out of here one of these days. If you know the Lord, listen, you don't have to worry about a thing. The only thing you should be worried about is what we're going to talk about tonight. The Bible teaches us to seek those things which are above. You say, what do you mean? Well, I wonder, as believers tonight, are we seeking the things that are above? Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4 tonight. Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. Seek those things which are above. How many has ever played the game hide and seek before? I mean, that game never gets old, does it? I mean, it gets a little bit more tiring now if you got to run in this old, you know, in good shape body. I get tired if I have to play that game. But look, hide and seek's fun. And, you know, when you're hiding, you got a mission. What? Not get caught, right? But, man, when you're the seeker, you're doing everything in your power to seek out anybody because you don't want to be it again, do you? You want to be the one hiding. You don't want to be the one way over here and watching them morons run over there. I got in the base and you didn't catch me. Ha ha, you're it again. I hated that. But look, when you're playing that game, you are seeking something and you're seeking it with everything you got. Because why? Because you don't want to be it. Listen, the Bible teaches us to seek those things which are above. I wonder how much tonight you are seeking the things which are above. I wonder how much tonight you are seeking, we're going to learn here in a second, how much are you really seeking the face of your God tonight? Do you see this world as He sees this world? Or do you see this world in a carnal mind? Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse number 24, the Bible says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." And look at those next four words. What is it? Say it with me. "Even a jealous God." Now, what can we confirm right here about God? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. He's jealous. So, why would God be jealous? He's God. He doesn't need anything. He created everything. So, why would God be jealous tonight? Well, let's just simplify it. If you and I, which will never be in His shoes, but just put yourself there for a moment. If you did what He did, if you gave up one of your only begotten Son to die a horrible death, a crucifixion, to hang before the foundations of the world, if you gave your only begotten Son up for the sins of this world, for all the wickedness that has ever taken place, and people got saved because of that, and then they just lived like they wanted to because they know, oh, I can't lose my salvation. They got that figured out. But look, wouldn't you be a pretty jealous God yourself? I think so. Tonight, you got to understand, God is not okay with your sin. I don't care what preacher has lied to you. I don't care what preacher has opened up something and said and changed God's word to make it fit his lifestyle. I know preachers that will go home and socially drink and say it's okay because they're not getting drunk. But Jesus drank wine. No, he didn't. Because he'd have broke the law of Moses if he'd have drank wine. The Bible forbids priests and kings to drink. And let me let you in on something. We are all priests and kings. Hey, Jesus didn't drink fermented wine. Y'all okay? Y'all don't have to agree with me. You can be wrong. But that's okay with me. You can go home believing that. You're still going to be wrong. Jesus did not drink fermented wine. Some of you look at me like, yes, he did. No, he did not. Because the moment he done that, he'd have been a sinner, and his sacrifice would have been no more. My Bible teaches me that wine is a mocker and strong drink is what? Raging. And then it goes on to say, whosoever is deceived thereby is not what? Wise. You know what my Bible says? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, a drunk never became a drunk without taking his first drink. Y'all all right? A drug addict never became a drug addict without ever taking their first hit. Y'all with me? I mean, we can go on and on. Some of the things you buy and put in your body, it tells you right on the containers, may cause such and such. Hey, God is a jealous God. He hates sin. You say, where are you going with all that? Where am I going with all that is this. We are constantly looking in a carnal world for spiritual answers. We want the answers that feels good to our flesh. When the Bible says, walk in the what? Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. Folks, listen, this world has zero, nothing to offer you spiritually. But God has everything. And God is a jealous God. Let's keep reading verse 25. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves. Look at this. And make a graven image or the likeness of anything and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. Hey, I'm telling you this today. He was talking about the Israelites here, but today God still hates sin as much as he did back then. And every time you sin, you're provoking him. Hey, he said, be not deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, you want to sow sin in your life? You're going to reap sin. You plant blueberries, you don't harvest tomatoes. Y'all all right? That's just not how it works, is it? We plant tomatoes, we're going to get tomatoes. Folks, listen. You put bad fruit in your life, whatever goes in has to come out one way or another. Don't provoke God. To provoke him to anger. Verse 26 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if, here it is, folks, but if thou thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt, what's those next two words? Boy, aren't you glad that every single time, even though, listen, we don't have a license to sin, folks, we've been made free from sin. We don't have freedom to sin. We've been made free from sin. I can't clarify that enough. We do not have a license to sin. But guess what? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm so thankful every single time, Brother Walter, that I choose to do wrong and I choose to, I don't like to use the word backsliding. Call it what it is. It's rebellion. You on purpose choose to go against God every single time I go in rebellion. But oh, every single time I choose to do the opposite of rebellion and repent, God is there waiting with open arms. What kind of God is that? That's a very jealous God who hates to see his children out in the world serving the world. Think about this. Would you be jealous if one of your children rebelled against you and said, I'm not doing what you want me to do? How do you feel? Folks, listen. God doesn't feel any different about us when he gives us very clear instructions on how we ought to be living our lives and we just choose not to do so. But if thou thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, verse 29, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, look at this, even in the what? Hey, you know what those are? These days right now. Even, here's some prophecy for you. Even in the latter days, look at this. If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a what? Merciful God. Man, isn't it good that God has not given up on us? Isn't it good to know that if we would just turn from our wicked ways and pray and seek God's face and humble ourselves, the Bible teaches that he will hear from heaven and he will heal our land. But it's not the lost people that's doing the damage, folks. If my people, it's us. See, lost people are expected to act like lost people. Lost people are expected to go out and do foolish things because they're carnally minded. They know not God. They have not the knowledge of God. They have not the wisdom of God. But saved people are sanctified, supposed to be living sanctified lives, set apart from the world. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I wonder how many of us are living that. Or how many of us are just blending right in with everybody else. Folks, don't be a chameleon. Stand out. Be different. Your Savior was not a chameleon. He stood out everywhere he went, never blended in. I like that. He's a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. When we seek the Lord above with our whole heart, we can rest assured he will be found. In verse 24, we see that God is a jealous God. God does not like when his children are seeking anything other than him. Verse 29 through 31, we see God is a merciful God to those who seek him. Go with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. The book of 1 Chronicles tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're talking about seeking those things above. Where's your heart? 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11. Seeking those things above. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. We should be seeking the Lord and his strength. We should also be seeking his face. I think it would be great tonight if we sought the face of our Lord and started seeing this world through the eyes of our Savior. Can I tell you this? When you start seeking the Lord, the Bible says, seek his strength. You know how we're going to make it through this time, Brother Scott? With the Lord. We know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter who comes up against me, listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? All they got to threaten you with is heaven, if you're saved. They won't kill you. It'll just be God saying, hey, it's time for you to go. Amen? Because he's the giver and taker of life, right? Look, they can't threaten me. Threaten me with heaven. Go ahead. I told you, I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm not trying to like punch my ticket tonight. But if God says it's time, hey, I'm out of here. I know where I'm going. I wonder, do you know where you're going? And why do you know? How do you know? We need to start seeing this world through the eyes of our Savior. You say, what do you mean, Brother Drew? I mean this right here. When we look at individuals, how many know there's different types of people everywhere? And I'm not talking about skin color, race, none of that. I'm talking about different type of people. Weird folks, people we don't want to communicate with, people we wouldn't be caught dead with. You know what I'm saying? But in the eyes of our Savior, he sees a never-dying soul. The weird dude we talk about, the weird girls at school that want to be cats and they identify as cats. Hey, you know what God sees? That's just a sinner that needs a Savior. Because that girl who's confused in her carnality and probably doesn't have a dad at home and probably lived a life of that you would never want to replace. You know, you would never want to go in her place. We want to make fun of her. We have no idea why she's so confused. We know she's without God, but hey, folks, all those are just side effects of a real root problem that she's going through. A hurt. You know what hurt people do? Hurt people. Everywhere we look, you know, how many has ever called somebody weird? That dude's weird. You know, that girl's weird. We've all said it. Don't lie. I mean, you know, you say, I definitely wouldn't hang out with that crowd. You know what I'm saying? Anybody? Come on, be honest. There we go. All right. And then there's the crowd where you're like, hey, they're not really my type of people, but you talk to them and you hear them talking, you're like, hey, I could hang out with them. You ever watch Duck Dynasty before? I ain't never met any of those dudes, but I'd love to spend a day with them. Just from watching them on TV, I'd love to hang out with Uncle Si and Jace just for a day. Why? Because they're cool dudes. They're rednecks. Right? Y'all know what I'm saying? But look, we could name some more TV shows and you'd be like, no, I don't want to hang out with them. Ain't no way. Why? Because they're not our style. But see, the Bible teaches that God fearfully and wonderfully made each and every individual. Now, he didn't make them confused, because God's not the author of what? Confusion. That's the devil. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. It's not the people's fault. Folks, look, we've got to start seeing this world through the eyes of our Savior. You know what will help knock down drug abuse in this country? Jesus. Not just AA programs. I'm talking about a real reformation. A biblical one. Not somewhere they're going to lock you behind bars so you can't do something. I mean, that helps for a little bit, but when they get back to society, there's no real change. You know what I'm talking about? They just go right back to the same people. Hey, you know what made me want to be different? It was the Holy Spirit of God that came in within me and created in me a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away, and behold, all things what? Are become new. You know what will help the drunk on the street? Hey, yeah, sure, take him to an AA meeting, but you know what you ought to do? Have him in your home. Have him over for dinner. Open the Bible and tell him that the drunk on the street is just as important as the pastor in the pulpit in Jesus Christ's eyes. He's important. Folks, we're looking at it from the wrong angle. You know what will help those politicians in D.C.? They need Jesus, right? We know that. But hey, how often do you pray for your president? After all, he's leading your country, whether you like it or not. Him and his cronies. Y'all know what I'm saying? Can't read a teleprompter, but he's leading the country. But look, how often do you pray for the man? As out of place as he is, God knew he was going to be there. God allowed him to be there. Y'all with me? God was not surprised. God allowed him to be there. And look, if you think this November ain't important, you better be praying harder than ever. You better go vote. And don't vote party. Vote who's going to defend this right here. Who's going to stand on this right here. Who's going to defend Jesus Christ is who you better be voting on. Pray for your country. You know, God looks down and sees. I can only imagine. We think about Washington, D.C. as born-again believers, and we think, how on earth could people be so filthy, so vile, so wicked? But you know, God looks down and he sees, I died for him. I sent my son to die for him. I wonder if there's a preacher or a missionary that could come across Capitol Hill and knock on their door and just tell them about me, so that maybe they'll have an opportunity to repent. See, God desires just as much to see them saved as he desired to see us saved when we got saved. You know, if Joe Biden were to ask the Lord to save him tonight, you know what the angels in heaven would do? The same thing they did when you got saved. They would rejoice. Why? Because a sinner has turned to repentance. Folks, we got to start seeing this world through the eyes of our Savior. Psalm 119. Go with me there. Psalm 119. We're talking about seeking those things which are above. Psalm 119, verse number 9. A good scripture song. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It's a question. But I like the answer. It says this, by taking heed thereto according to thy what, church? With my whole heart have I, what's the next two words? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I what? You know, we should be seeking God with our whole heart. How many are married in here? I remember the first time you met your, what used to be, she used to be your girlfriend. Remember the first time you met her? And you just remember that little feeling you got inside. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, when you started really thinking in your mind, like, I think I really like this girl, or ladies, I think I really like this guy. You remember that feeling wasn't just like, ah, I'll talk to you a couple weeks. No, no, no. You sought every opportunity to see her, didn't you guys? And no matter what, you know how many times I got in trouble? I missed my curfew. Because I figured I could get from Monroeville to Lizard Lope in 30 minutes. Didn't happen, but a couple of times. But look, why was I willing to risk it all? Because there was something that I loved and cared about that I was seeking after. Well, look, let me ask you this. We made it personal. Are you seeking after God like that? David said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." So how will I know if I'm seeking God with my whole heart? Well, there will be nothing standing your way from getting to God. Just like when you were chasing your girlfriend, gentlemen. Now she's your wife. Nothing would have stood in your way from just seeing her one more time. Why? Because you loved her. And you wanted to be with her. And you desired to be around her. Well, what about God? I wonder, how often do we go out of our way, miss our curfew, drop something else to get a hold of God like that? David said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." He said, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Then he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." You know, this is the same David that committed adultery. You guys know that? The same David that committed adultery. The same David that killed Goliath. The same David that killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. The same David that lost 3 children in sin. The same David that later in life, after repenting, God said, "That's a man after mine own heart." With my whole heart have I sought thee. I wonder if God would say, "Pastor Drew's a man after God's own heart. Put your name there." I wonder if God would say, "New Hope Independent Baptist Church is a church that is seeking me in unity with their whole heart." Because let me tell you something. When you seek God, the Bible says, "Ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto thee." We should be seeking God with our whole heart and striving each day as a believer to be better in all aspects of life, hiding God's word in our heart and seeking Him in our hearts to please, and seeking in our hearts to please Him will help us to sin less and less. You know, when's the last time you sinned and you just said, "God, I'm sorry. I apologize for what I did"? Because sin does hurt your relationship with God. It's just like when one of your children do something wrong and you get upset. Why do you get upset? Because they did something against you. They did something against your will. And you know, what bothers me more when, you know, you ever discipline one of your children? We're not going to get into how you discipline them. That's none of my business. But what bothers me, Brother Scott, is when I discipline some of my children sometimes and then you say, "Now, do you realize why you got in trouble?" And they just look at you. Nope. In their minds, they haven't learned a lesson. They don't even think what they did was wrong. Doesn't that sound like us? How we treat God. And God says, "You reap what you sow." Now, I know God's not up there with a sledgehammer, you know, playing whack-a-mole, thank God. Because we'd all have knots on our head, right? But look, the Bible does say you're going to reap what you sow. But, you know, when we go through that valley, and we look up and it's almost like God says, "Do you see what you did wrong, son?" And you look at him, you're like, and we go right back to it, expecting a different outcome. You know what I'm talking about? How foolish is that? You know, we ought to think about that sometimes. Just relate yourself with your children. How can I seek God to this caliber? Well, can I tell you this? 3 things. How can I seek God with my whole heart? Can I say this? You must develop a hatred for all sin. You've got to develop a hatred for sin. Realize that your sin is what sent Jesus Christ to the cross. You have to learn to hate sin. And 2, never compromise to please another. Never compromise to please another. Compromise what? God's word. God's word will always stand. Develop a hatred for sin. Never compromise to please another. Always choose to obey God rather than man. You want to seek God with your whole heart? Stop worrying about what people around you think about you. If you are doing what God told you to do the way He told you to do it, you're doing it right. If you can back it up scripturally, if you filter what you're doing through the Word of God and you have peace from God in heaven that's right, listen, do it. Don't listen to the naysayers. We've seen just a couple weeks ago what God can do to those people who doubt Him. He can show them that just how real He is. Always choose to obey God rather than man. Never compromise to please another. Develop a hatred for sin. And lastly tonight, listen, never forget that great is thy reward. Never forget that great is thy reward. You know what I'm saying, Brother Uriah? I'm saying we're not doing this in vain, brother. We have a heaven to gain. Hey, we got it. If you're saved, you already gained heaven. But you know what you can do? You can lay up for yourselves treasures up there. Everything I'm doing, I don't know why I'm doing this. Don't ask that question. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm just doing it for the Lord. Well, they made fun of me. That don't matter. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm not doing it for them. They can make fun of me all they want to. I'm doing it for the Lord. Develop a hatred for sin. Never compromise to please another. Always choose to obey God rather than man. And never forget that great is thy reward. Colossians 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That word affection means emotions. It's the state of being influenced or acted on. I wonder how often we stop and we let the things down here affect our emotions. Every single one of us probably could think of something just within the last few hours on this earth that has happened that we can't change, whether it be circumstance, event, whatever it might have been, but it affected your emotions. The Bible says set your affection on things above. What is it down here that influences you so much you can never seem to put Christ first? What is in your life that's so important? We should be serving God with singleness of heart. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Miss Crystal is going to come tonight and play a hymn of invitation. I wonder tonight, church, with head bows and eyes closed, heads bowed, eyes closed. Listen, it's 7:30 on a Wednesday night. You could be in a lot of places. You could be in a lot of places tonight, but you chose to be in church, and I'm so thankful you did tonight. But I wonder tonight if you are serving God the way that you are capable of serving God. Listen, the piano is going to begin to play, and I wonder if God has spoken to your heart tonight. Listen, this altar's open. It ain't Sunday morning, it ain't Sunday night, but listen, it's as good a day as any to get right with the Lord. It's as good a day as any to decide tonight that I'm going to start seeking things above. And how am I going to do it? To the caliber and to the way that God wants me to do it. Tonight I'm going to commit to having a hatred for sin.